Welcome back to the book of Exodus on Through the Word. In chapter 26, we continue the instructions for building the tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle is basically a large tent where God promises he will meet with the people of Israel. The instructions began with the furnishings inside the temple, but here we get the great tent of the tabernacle itself. Verse 1. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim woven into them by a skilled worker.
Standing on the inside of the tent, you would see 10 curtains of linen with beautiful images of cherubim woven into the fabric. Cherubim aren't chubby babies with wings. The Bible describes them as majestic, overpowering, and awe-inspiring creatures whose very appearance is enough to cause mortals to mistakenly fall down and attempt to worship them. The book of Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle is a picture of the throne of heaven. Cherubim are also found in other passages of the Bible describing the throne of God, such as Ezekiel 1 and 10 and Revelation 4.
Right, and because the tabernacle is in many ways a picture of heaven itself, the inside of the tabernacle would have images of angels on the walls and ceiling. When the priests would enter, as they approached the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, it was like a small glimpse of heaven and a reminder that they were approaching the throne of God.
Remember, God had promised that he would meet with Israel from between the two cherubim on the mercy seat. It was the closest thing he had to a throne on earth. But even there, it was just a foretaste, a shadow of the greater throne that we will all stand before one day.
Now on the outside of the tent, over the finely woven linen fabric, was a layer of thicker goat wool, then two more layers of leather, one ram skin, the other the skin of sea cows. What are sea cows? I don't know. Neither do the translators. There's a word in Hebrew here that we're just not sure about, but we know it's a kind of leather. Whatever it means, this tent is insulated and well protected from the elements. Whether sand and sun or cold and rain, the tabernacle would be a place of refuge and peace.
Tents can't stand on their own, though. The tabernacle is going to need some tent poles, and this tent had some of the finest poles ever made for a tent in verse 15. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with two projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle, and make 40 silver bases to go under them, two bases for each frame, one under each projection. Acacia wood, by the way, is a very strong, durable wood, and it was found all throughout the desert. But look what these tent poles were placed in, silver bases.
This is high-class tent gear. No simple canvas tent with fiberglass poles for God's house. The wood frames and even the crossbars that held the roof up are quite nice. Verse 29, overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also, overlay the crossbars with gold.
Talk about bling, that's gold-covered tent poles. But it's not about glamping. This is God's dwelling place, and each material chosen has a significance and a symbolism. We'll go over those when the tabernacle actually gets built. For now, Moses is reminded again to follow the pattern God has given to him in verse 30. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. God has given Moses a set of blueprints, so he knew exactly how everything should look, even if he didn't write it all down for us in Exodus. And man, I wish he would have. I mean, what does a cherub even look like? Moses, you could have been a little more descriptive here.
Moses is then given instructions for the creation of two more important curtains, one inside the tent and one for the door. The one inside would separate the tent into two rooms, the holy place and the most holy place. The table and lampstand we read about yesterday would be in the outer room, the holy place. Past the curtain was the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat were placed.
And what is interesting about these curtains was that the inside curtain, the dividing wall, was also covered in cherubim. But the outside curtain, the one that was to be used as a door for the tabernacle, had no cherubim. All this fine handiwork and craftsmanship went into the creation of this beautiful tent for the Lord. And then it was covered in plain leather. While the curtain at the door was beautifully woven, it did not have the beauty of the inner linen curtains.
I thought about that. There are these beautiful pieces of furniture. The ark, the carvings on the table, the lampstand of pure gold. Why are they hidden inside? And the beautifully colored linens, to simply be covered in animal skins? Plain leather doesn't seem like it would be an awe-inspiring facade for the very dwelling place of God.
You're right. There was nothing fancy to the exterior of the tabernacle, just as there will be nothing fancy to the courtyard surrounding it. But hidden on the inside, well, that's a different story. There is a rich beauty inside. And most interestingly of all, this beauty was hidden from the eyes of most people. Only a few of the priests ever saw the beauty within the tabernacle.
So why did God want it this way? One possible reason is seen in Israel's later history. The nation of Israel had a way of turning simple worship of God into idolatry. In just a few chapters, Israel will make a golden calf to worship, just weeks after hearing God's voice boom out that there should be no carved images made.
Right. And later, there's the incident of the bronze serpent in Numbers 21. The Lord used it to save the people, but later Israel took the bronze serpent, and instead of it being a tool pointing people to God, it became an idol.
So God had these objects placed inside a plain tent, out of sight of the average Israelite, so they would not become objects of idolatry. It's also important to see the picture of Christ in the tabernacle. We'll discuss this idea more in future chapters of Exodus, but for now, know that the tabernacle is a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus. Listen to the way Philippians 2 describes Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The tabernacle held all this beauty and the very presence of God, but it was wrapped in plain leather, giving it a very ordinary appearance. The glory of God all wrapped up in plain ordinary skin.
And catch this. The curtains, as you enter under the skins, were interwoven with the colors of blue, purple, and scarlet, the very colors of blood vessels. So the tabernacle has skin on the outside and the appearance of blood vessels as you opened and entered in. And in the same way, Jesus contained all the fullness of God, but took on the very nature and form of a man. There wasn't anything special about Jesus' human body. Despite all the medieval art, Jesus didn't walk around with a glowing halo. Isaiah 53 puts it like this: He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. The fullness of God wrapped in the skin of man.
We'll dive into more connections between Jesus and the tabernacle later in Exodus. But for now, read Exodus 26 today and join us tomorrow for chapter 27 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.